Thanks for your prayers. I heard you had a brilliant week here last week, eh? Someone said Andy Brewer was really good. Right, I've got to top him. Okay, so let me share with you a few little things that are very important, actually. The things that we need to get sorted first. It's important to do first things first. Who agrees? If you do the first things later, you can sort of get away with it. Thank God for his grace. But it's harder. You know, ladies, when you're making a cake, I know all about this. You're making a cake, and then you look back in the book and you realize there's a sort of vital ingredient you didn't put in when you should. It's not easy, is it, to sort of make it work again? Of course, you can just pour it over the top when it comes out the oven if you want. But it's better to do the first things first. It's better to collect your £200 as you go past the beginning of Monopoly. It's better to get equipped when you're setting out to do something. Say you're going on a big journey. You're going to climb a mountain. Or you're going to take a carrier bag. I was in Kazakhstan once, preaching up near in the mountains at the foothills of the Himalayas, actually, real big mountains, doing a youth sort of camp, meant to be youth camp, but everyone just came, just jumped on the bus from the city. When we were there, there was some a Russian guy who was about probably 29, and a couple of younger guys, Kazakh guys, who were about teenagers, really. And I was walking through the camp one day, and they had a carrier bag, and they were going up the mountain. And I don't know anything about climbing or mountains or anything. These guys live there, you know. But I said, is that all you need? Yeah, we'll be fine. A bit like Dimitri, you know. We'll be fine. And you know what? Honestly, they weren't fine. And they got halfway up. And actually what happened was they couldn't be bothered carrying all the water they had in the carrier bag. So they left it somewhere. And then they went further up. You know, they had a terrible accident actually trying to get back down. The Russian guy fell through the top of a tree, which saved his life but broke his back. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, these two young Kazakh lads found the way down from the mountain. They could only find the way at night because they could see the lights of the camp. They came screaming into the camp, well, you know, and people set off, and we were all praying all through the night for this guy. And I mean, a miracle is they found him. They'd covered him in grass to sort of hide him. You know, this isn't Eston Hills. There's animals, you know. They covered the guy who's in agony in grass. And anyway, praise God, they found him. They managed to bring him back, bring him down the mountain in a stretcher, and he was in a wheelchair for a couple of years, and we kept praying for him. And in the end, he was healed, thank God, and he got out. But do you know what? Do you think it would have been better to set off a bit wiser than that? Do you need a carrier bag? No, you need all sorts of stuff to go up a mountain with snow on top. That's a big mountain. Listen, the Christian life is higher than that mountain. We've got a long road ahead of us, and we need to get everything we can to help us make it to the end. Should we have a look at some of the things Jesus said do first? He tells us to set off, and he says, here's a few things you need to do first. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us, eh? Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here in this room. We thank you that you're our teacher. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to every heart and every life now through your word. And help us to collect now the things that we might have forgotten, the things that we're going to need, and help us keep first things first and prioritize properly in our lives. Help us, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're awesome. Matthew chapter 6. He's got to be the first one. Under a title of Do Not Worry, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Life's more important than food, and the body is more important than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow and reap and store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than them? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to it? Hello? Hello? Is it a battery or is it something else? Let's use one of them. tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed as good as one of these. If that's how God looks after the grass of the field, it's here today, tomorrow it's thrown into the fire, won't he clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? Look, the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first, everyone say first, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Oh, no, I can't resist this last little sentence because it's just so cool. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow either. Tomorrow can worry about itself. Oh, isn't it great to have a human God? A God who is a real man. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow can worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't Jesus awesome? He says, look, when you're starting off, here's the first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, that is. It's interchangeable in the Gospels, that phrase. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, they're the same thing. Listen, there's another world. The real one. The one where this world originated from. The one this world is destined to crash into. Called the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying there, the first priority in your life needs to be this. Seeking this kingdom, seeking entrance into this kingdom. Make sure you're going to get into this kingdom first before you get all settled in this world. Sort out the next world first before you get all established in this life and get caught up with everything in this life. Make sure you have your pension sorted out. Make sure your life insurance is sorted out. Make sure you're going into the kingdom of heaven. It's very, very important. The amazing thing is, though there are people who seek the kingdom of heaven with all their heart until they find it, there are lots of other people who would rather not go, thanks. I can be bothered. Margaret went to get a watch fixed once at this watchmaker's. I better not say where it is because you know him. But anyway, at this watchmaker's, this shop. And he sort of looked at it. And she said, can you fix it? And he said, yeah. And he didn't look very happy. And she said, can you need to get, and at least he was honest. But he looked and went, I can't be bothered. I thought, that's weird, you know. This is your business. There's a sign outside. It says, fix watches. But you can be bothered. He gave it, but he said, I can't be bothered. I mean, he must have been having a bad day, bless him. The shocking thing is, people are like that about things that really matter, like heaven and the kingdom of God. I can't be bothered. What's the kingdom of heaven like? Well, let Jesus tell you in this parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a certain man who was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, come now, because everything is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. Jesus calls these excuses. He said, the first one said, I've just bought a field, so I've got to go and see it. Please excuse me. That's like business, isn't it? So I'm really busy with my business. Jesus says, excuse. Next guy says, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. You know, I've got to go and collect my new car. My new cash guy, Stuart. And I'm on my way out to try them out. Please excuse me. Make it sound so nice. I'm really busy. I've got a lot on lately. I don't really have time to come to this banquet. Jesus said, it's an excuse. The next guy says, I've just got married, So I can't. She's gorgeous. I'm so in love. Amazing, amazing that Jesus says, excuse. That's a poor excuse for this. This is so important that all of that stuff, I love him, an excuse. Not important. I've got an awesome business. It's all kicking off. Not important. We're moving house. Not important compared to this. The kingdom of heaven is open. The kingdom of heaven is ready now. God says to everyone, everywhere, repent and believe the gospel. He calls all men everywhere to repentance right now, today, this year. He says to you in this room, every single one of you, come now, everything's ready. You heard that communion? Jesus said, it is finished. It is ready. Come now. It's very, very important. Jesus said, and you might think, well, heaven and all that, yeah, you know, to heavenly minded, no earthly good. No, no, Jesus roots this teaching right in human daily life. In fact, Jesus says, this is the answer for daily anxiety. This is the answer for daily worry about life, your business, your job, your marriage, everything. This is the answer. What is? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Seek this first. Get this sorted. Get this sorted. When you're invited to a banquet, and anyway, let me tell you what happens in this parable. They all say, oh, sorry, I'm really busy. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry, and rightly so. And he ordered his servant, go out quickly into the alleys and the streets of this town. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. They did it. Sir, he said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still some room. Then the master said, then go out into the roads and country lanes, the highways and the byways, and compel them to come in, so that this house will be full. Because I tell you that not one of those men who'd been invited will get a taste of this. Wow. It's a scary thing to turn your nose up at God. God's invitation into the kingdom of God is, into his kingdom, is very serious. It's serious because there's nothing more that he can do for you. Can you imagine how much this banquet cost? What's the best meal you've ever had? This is better. What's the most price you've ever paid for a meal? This is better. This is God's kingdom. This is what God puts on the table for you and for me every day and when we go to him. This is God's kingdom. He's inviting you. You know when you get invited to a wedding? Rob and Lucy getting married, aren't they? Is that awesome? Yay! We got an invite to their wedding. And it says something French on the bottom. Réservez vos bouches à bas or something. It means... exactly. It means, Buster, let us know because we're paying for this. Your place, it's paid for. It's expensive. Are you coming or are you not? Do you know what, Rob? Do you think Rob would be offended if I said, do you know what? My computer's acting up a little bit. I can't be bothered. I think Rob would be offended, and I think rightly so. He's got every right to be angry. If I write back and say something really serious, my kid's dying in hospital and I've got to go and see him, okay. But if it's an excuse, it's an excuse. What I'm really saying is, actually, Rob, don't really like you. I am. That's what I'm saying. That's what people are saying to God. I've got a business going on. Do you know what? I don't really like you. I don't want a God. I want to be my own God, thanks. Can you just get stuffed out of my face because I want to run my own life? That's what people are saying. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We have to have this priority number one in our lives if we're going to be real disciples of Jesus and followers of Jesus. The kingdom of God has to be absolutely first in our life. so that we partake of this banquet, we say, thank you. Thank you, God, for inviting me. Yes, I'm coming to heaven. Here's my response. I receive Jesus as my personal saviour, and every day I'm going to look forward to it. And you know what? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is bigger than just when you die. It's now, isn't it? It's now. I go to that table every day. Do you know what's on that table? Physical healing. Do you know what's on that table? Forgiveness of sins. Do you know what's on that table? Beautiful drinks of the Holy Spirit, anointings, and all sorts of, you know, there's like, oh, maybe not fortune cookies, but there's there's adventures and the will of God and all sorts on that table. I want to go and eat at that table every single day until I never have to leave it and I'm there forever with Jesus. That's the kingdom of God. And you go to the table now, hey, come now. Have this as the first priority in your life. Needs to be the kingdom of God and heaven. Otherwise, it's just excuses. You won't want those excuses later. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he gave absolutely every... How much do you think this banquet cost? What do you think it cost God to send his only son and to open the gate for heaven? It cost him absolutely everything. No matter how much you've ever paid for a wedding, this costs more. This is the most expensive wedding. Oh, sorry, Margaret. I knocked over my double Mocco super cream with extra marshmallows. Whatever you've paid, this cost God more. Jesus gave everything, didn't he? Everything. On the cross, there was no blood left in Jesus' body. Do you know that? There wasn't. When they took Jesus' body down from the cross, it was empty. Because he gave every milliliter of his blood, every drop of his blood, for you and for me to be forgiven, to be saved, to go to heaven. There was no blood on his body. In his body, there was blood on his body, outside of his body, and blood on the cross, and lots of his blood on the ground. His blood on the ground all the way to the walk to the cross. His blood poured into the earth to save the earth. Jesus held nothing back. Nothing. Is that something for us to turn our noses up at? I can't be bothered. That's a frightening thing. Listen, if you don't know that you're going to heaven today, you can know by receiving Jesus before you leave this place. You receive him. You make sure he's first in your life and he's your salvation. Don't go anywhere till you've sorted this out. Don't sort your next job out till you've sorted this out. This is the priority of your life, the kingdom of heaven. God, the Father, has given everything for this banquet. He spent the death of his son on it. It's very important that you go through the gate into heaven. On the day you die, you'll be very glad you did. We don't live forever, do we? Have you noticed? Anyone else getting older? You know, when you're young, time seems to last forever, doesn't it? When you're a kid, Christmas never comes. The summer holidays are massive. But the older you get, it seems like time speeds up, doesn't it? And the Christmases go like motorway bridges over your head. Boom, boom. Well, it's Christmas again, it's Christmas again, it's Christmas again. You're dying! You're not going to live forever. You're going to go through that gate into the kingdom of heaven. If you've responded, if you've said, yes, please, that's my place, I'm coming. And you know something? Keeping this priority in your life is what keeps you fruitful for God. If you keep the priority number one in your life all the time, what's your life about? It's about the kingdom of God. What's your life about? I'm really into golf. What? I've got a season ticket. What? I absolutely love ballroom dancing. Really? Stephen. Anyway. But do you know something? These things are fine in their place. I don't know where the place is, but it's way back here compared to this. Jesus, every day as your Lord and Savior, listening to him, feeding on him, doing his will. His will is what matters. His will, the rest is just excuses. Don't waste your life. Pastor Raul, some of you know Pastor Raul from the Philippines, those of you who've been, died the night before last. And he died 3 o'clock in the morning in a little Filipino jeepney trying to get to the hospital because he couldn't breathe. He had asthma problems all his life. He has gone through the garden gate into paradise. He's got 9 children like us. They're all blessed and they're all crying their eyes out on Ruth and Andrew right now. It's hard, isn't it? But you know what? It's good. It's so good. We're going into the kingdom of God. We're going into the kingdom of heaven. We're not for this life. The dad's gone ahead on the plane ahead of them. So what? It's good. It's real. I've only heard God speak to me out loud twice in my life. And I know that's rare. And I know that's awesome. I know many people have never heard that. But I have. Once when I was a very young Christian, just filled with the Holy Spirit, living in a bedsit. And God spoke to me audibly in the room, woke me up. That was to like save the life of a young guy who was on his way to commit suicide. It's an interesting story. I'll tell you sometime, but not now. The other time was just after the church started. We started Amazing Grace. We started in the September. We were hammering tongs, exhausted, keeping it going, starting it, you know, keeping it going. We got to the April and I happened to be on a trip to Spain with Bob. And often Spain can be really quite hard work, but this time it wasn't. For some reason, managed to find our way to this awesome bungalow in Alicante with a massive swimming pool. And it was awesome. Now I went and sat in the little swingy thing in the garden on my own. And I felt God say, just put all your weight on me like you're doing on this swing. I was a bit worried about my weight because it looked a bit rusty. Thought, me being such a slight chap. But I thought, yeah, I just rested on this little swing. And the Lord said to me, this isn't what he said out loud, I'm just telling you a bit of the story. And just in my heart, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you can rest. You give the church to me and the leadership and everything else to me. Let it go and it just, the weight just lift off. Praise the Lord. And I went into that lovely little bungalow and slept fantastic deep sleep that first night. And I woke up, someone in my room, speaking, Holy Spirit, right in my ear, as if he was knelt at my bed. And it's just one of the strangest things I've ever experienced. And he said a poem. A poem? I mean, I don't do poetry. This hasn't come from me. Besides, there was a voice in my room. And the poem was this. I never used to be able to say this poem without absolutely cracking up and weeping buckets, but I can say it nowadays because it's a long time ago. Here's the poem. There is a garden famous, as green as it is long. The garden is clean. The garden is pure. And its walls are strong. And then the second verse, but this time inside me. That's how I know it was the Holy Spirit and not an angel or something. Because I know the Holy Spirit's voice inside me. The second verse was inside me. Following on. And if you find the garden's gate, do not hurry past. For though the garden's gate is small, it is in fact its last. Seek first entrance into this garden that is heaven. Because the walls are strong and there's no other way in. The gate is Jesus. The invitation is to every single one of you. Accept it now. Don't put it off. Don't make it nothing. Don't turn your nose up at God. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. See, this is your personal salvation. Get your personal salvation sorted first. Then live. Yeah. Then buy your houses and do it as a Christian. Do it as a believer. But make sure this is sorted first. Make sure you've received
his righteousness. That's what Christianity is. Religion is receiving, is working your way to heaven. Christianity is the opposite of that. It's a gift. How can I receive his righteousness? As a gift. It's a gift. If I earn it, if I work for it, it's a wage. Is that true? If I work for something and get paid for it, it's a wage. If I purchase something, if I buy something, it's a purchase. But if I just receive it, it's a gift. Just receive it. Receive salvation from Almighty God as a gift. Stop pretending you don't need it. We'd like to come to church. Oh, I'm all right, thanks. Would you be interested in doing an Alpha course? Oh, I'm all right. Thanks. I'm all right. Oh, we're all right. We're all right. Let me tell you something. You're not all right. The Bible says you're all wrong. And to become right, you need to receive his rightness. You have to become right with God. Because unless you're right with God, you're not even right with yourself. You're not right with your family. You're not right with anyone. Right with God first puts the corners on the jigsaw. And you can start to make sense of your life. Right with God first. So that you're going to heaven. And you have no fear and no regrets. Jesus paid the bill for this meal. There's no bill at the end of this banquet. You just receive it and be grateful for it. Amen? What's time? 22. Okay, 3 more hours. Only kidding. The second thing that you need to get sorted out, that we need to get sorted out before we go, is the Holy Spirit. We've been clothed with righteousness, but now we need to be clothed with power from on high. Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 48. Well, start in verse 46. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. She's given them a big task, a big mission. Go and preach repentance and forgiveness to all the world. Begin at Jerusalem, but go out for you to be witnesses of these things. And I'm going to send you what my Father promised. But wait, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Let me ask you a question. How many sermons did Jesus preach before he was filled with the Holy Spirit? None. How many miracles did Jesus do before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit? None. Jesus didn't do anything ministry-wise until he was 30 years old. I did better than that. Jesus, I was on the road about 20, 21. What's keeping you, man? What's keeping him is what should keep all of us. You wait on your Father until you are clothed with power from on high. Before we were filled with the Holy Spirit, we were Christians, we understood the gospel, we'd believed. At that moment, we were going to heaven. We were fit for heaven. Awesome, just not for anything else. I'm clothed with righteousness. I'm ready to go to heaven. That's wonderful. But you're not ready to go down the street and talk about Jesus. You're not ready to go to the nations. You're not ready to go until you're clothed with power from on high. Iron Man gets battered outside of his suit. Have you noticed that? Let's keep this biblical. Iron Man. He gets battered outside of his suit, but when he steps in, come forward and I'll pray for you to be healed. That's how we do it. That's how I heal people. Isn't that how you heal people? Outside of thinking that you're awesome and you've got some special power within you, the truth is we haven't. We've got nothing outside of the Holy Spirit. Thank God we don't need anything. When we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we were 19, 20 years old. We could see people had power that we didn't have. People were healing people in front of us. How did they do that? people were confidently, peacefully witnessing to other people about Jesus. How did they do that? Even when we wanted to tell people about Jesus, it didn't work. Oh, I was the first Christian in my family. I wrote letters to all of them and told them very politely they were going to hell. And you know they didn't appreciate it. I don't think they even responded. But they were all saved a couple of years later, all of them. Not through my efforts. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we were changed. Have you sorted this yet? Some people are so keen to get serving God. Jesus says, wait, sit down. The word means sit down. Wait in Jerusalem. That Greek word means sit down. I'm going to get busy for God. Sit down. I'm going to serve God. Sit down. I'm going to go to seminary. I'm going to become a vicar. Sit down, son. Until you've been clothed with power from on high. Then get up and get going and never sit down again. Just use the rest of your life to serve Almighty God. Amen? With the power of the Holy Spirit. Not your own power. You can go to meetings. You can go to meetings feeling weak, feeling down, feeling ill. It's irrelevant. And you stand up and God comes upon you and something happens. Because of the supernatural power of God. I've been to meetings in India when I've been vomiting on the way there. Ill, ill, ill. Get there. Everyone gets healed. Figure that out. I don't know. Because it's nothing to do with you. It's to do with a clothing of power from on high. Let me ask you this. Have you sorted this? I want to serve God. Good. Well done. First, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Seek the Holy Spirit. Ask for the baptism and power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled, be clothed. Otherwise, honestly, you're on your own, Jack. An Iron Man gets battered without that suit. So do we. Here's another one. Matthew chapter 7. Before you sort out life in this world, sort out life in the next. Before you go to the nations, make sure you're clothed with power. Number three, before you start ministering to other people, receive ministry yourself. Jesus said, how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you've got a massive plank in your own eye? First, everyone say first. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly. Oh, I can see it now. Don't worry, it's not that big. I can get it. To take the speck out of your brother's eye. Have you noticed that people who want to help people are the most messed up? I mean, is it just me? Or, you find out about people, how's his life going? Falling to bits. He's left his wife. He never sees his kids. He's been thrown out of his job. But he's training to do something else now. Oh, what's he doing? He's becoming a social worker. What? He's becoming a social worker because he's going to really put people's lives together again and help them. Yeah, but your own life is a mess. The people who write these, columns. Not that I read these columns ever. But, the people who write these agony aunt columns. I mean, are their lives sorted out? Hang on, before you start dishing out your advice, can I just ask about your marriage and your children and your family and your finances and your heart and mind? Can I just ask you, and you know the answer, is the people who are the biggest mess want to sort out everybody else? Here's Jesus' advice. And his advice is this. Look, I'm really happy you want to help other people. There's nothing wrong with that. But sort yourself out first. Otherwise you can't see clear. It's hard to see with a plank in your eye. You get to the root of your issues first. That's why Route 61 is so important. So important. Many people get into ministry. Many people get into full-time ministry. Many people do many things in the name of Jesus. And they are unhealed. And they're a mess. They've not sorted out the root issues in their own life. Get to the root. What is the root of this anger? What is the root of this lust? Don't just deal with the surface. Get to the root. First, take the plank out of your own eye. commit serious time and energy into letting Jesus heal you up. He said, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. Sort it out first. Then you will be an effective ministry, more effective. None of us are perfect. All of us have lots of planks in our eyes. But the important thing is that you're aware of that. You're letting God work on that so that you become more and more effective in actually helping other people instead of just judging everyone when you've got massive issues yourself. Can anyone agree with that one? Thank you, both of you. And then there's another little first. Can you still handle this? Okay. Another first is express your love for one another before you know, publicly express your love for God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, he says, when you're presenting your gift at the altar, so this is worship, when you're coming into public worship, and you're coming into this cinema, and you're getting ready to praise God and to thank God and to receive from God and to do communion. And there remember that your brother has something against you. First, everyone say first. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and present your gift at the altar. That's just wisdom from Jesus to make life work, church work, kingdom life work. It's great. You know, if you don't remember, you don't remember. That's fine. But if you remember, if you come into worship and you come into prayer and you remember someone has something against you, your wife, your husband, someone, then you put it right with them first. Can I just talk about this? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You teach your kids to apologize. You teach them by apologizing yourself. You apologize to your kids if you shout at them and upset them. Kick the cat, set fire at the kitchen, things like that. You apologize. You say, I'm very sorry. You apologize to one another all the time. You forgive one another all the time. That's normal Christian fellowship, okay? Church can't exist without it. Family can't exist without it. Without apologies, reconciliations, forgivenesses. Me and Stuart were preaching once in the church down in Derby. We sat in and we're all through the preach. This couple were crying, sat at the back. Sort of, you know, not elderly, but, well, they're not elderly now in my age. They're probably elderly to some of you kids. You know, they're probably in the mid-50s or 60, early 60s. And they were crying, 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 crying. We finished the preach. And then we went up to see them. I said, how are you doing? They said, oh, terrible, terrible. I said, well, do you want to talk about it? They said, yeah, please. So we sat down, pulled up two chairs. They said, our family's just destroyed. Said, our son has robbed us. He's involved with the drugs and stuff. He's robbed us of all our savings. He's emptied our bank account. This guy was a chief inspector in the police. He'd saved up a load of money and he just retired. And he'd gone on a cruise. And while they'd been on a cruise, the son had emptied their savings. How many? £100,000. And spent it all. And they had another son who was a good lad and he was angry with him, devastated. And they were sort of broken and stuff. I said, look, the beginning of reconciliation is forgiveness. Are you willing to forgive him now? And the husband, they were shaking their heads, you know, they were in agony, agony. And I said, listen, we've got to go. It's up to you. I can't make you do this, but I can only tell you that if you open your mouth and begin to say something in the name of Jesus, out of obedience, to do the right thing, God will help you. He'll back you. He'll help you. And it was the moment, wasn't it? It was a moment. He was like shaking. She was shaking. He went, and she looked at him like she didn't want to say it first. And then he went, all right, we'll do it. And she said, we'll do it. We'll do it. I said, come on then, I'll lead you in a prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I forgive my son. I forgive my son for stealing our money, for stealing our money. Wasting his inheritance. And prayer. We had to go. They were shutting up the place. So we said, see you, bless you, see you later. You know, you've got to wonder how things like that end, haven't you? But then, good news. We got a big email. 2 weeks later. You're not going to believe what happened. Thank you for praying for us. God did an absolute miracle in our life. This is what happened.
He said as soon as we forgave him, we got in the car to go home, we felt better. We felt peace and hope. But then we had real terrible fear. Because our other son, the good lad at home, was very hurt and angry with him as well. And we felt because we'd forgiven him, we'd left him out. Can you understand that? So they're going home and they're worried about the other good son because like they're a little bit sorted now, but he's still in agony. He said, and we went back home and we were wondering how to tell our good son. So we went into the front room. We were whispering about each other. And the good son came downstairs and he opened the door. He said, listen, Mum and Dad, while you've been at church, I've been thinking, I think it's time we forgive our Brian. Otherwise, this family's going to be torn apart. Is that awesome? It's God. Forgiveness is the beginning key that leads to reconciliation so often. First, forgive. In fact, don't be reconciled until you forgive. If you stand there at the altar and remember your brother has something against you. Actually, I really did hurt her when I said that. I need to put that right. I really did fail there. I need to put that right. Before you put it right, do your repenting for yourself. Do your forgiving. And sometimes, you know, the issue is just with you. What time's now? 11:52. Fantastic. 7 more points. So you can forgive. So first, sort out heaven before you sort out earth. First, be filled with the Holy Spirit before you go to the nations. First, before you minister to others, let God minister to you and take the plank out of your own eye. First, before you express your love to God, make sure you're expressing your love to each other. And then God's much happier with your worship because he loves us. He wants the kids to love each other, doesn't he? Isn't that just every parent? Isn't that just your last instructions? Me and Margaret just been away for the weekend. Don't fight, right? Matthias and Benji. Love each other. Love each other! That's like your parting wish, isn't it? Didn't that sound familiar to you? Didn't that sound like something Jesus said on the night he went to the cross? This is my command, right? This is my own special command for you guys. You guys, and I know you guys. Look, just love each other, all right? You, love him. You, love each other. Love each other and they'll know you're my disciples. It's important we love each other, isn't it? That's the desire of every parent, that we love each other, that we forgive each other. And lastly, this. First, consider the cost before you really launch out. And I realize that's probably too late for most of you, but tough. Anyway, Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Suppose one of you, here's Jesus speaking again, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Doesn't he first, everyone say first? First, sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it. Because if he lays the foundation and is unable to finish it, everyone who sees him will mock him. They'll say, he is a bloke who began to build and was not able to finish. This is the sad story of many a Christian life. Many, many. And I hope none of you in here today. Or suppose a king is about to go to war with another king. Doesn't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to meet the king coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he'll send a delegation and make for peace or do something else. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Count the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. Look, what do you get when you get the kingdom of heaven? Honestly, everything. Everything. A second after you're dead, you'll realize just what you've got. And those of you who follow Jesus your lifelong will have no regrets. But what does it cost? Everything. Everything.
your whole life. To follow Jesus your whole life costs your whole life. Of course, you can waste your life. You can receive the gift of salvation and go to heaven when you die with nothing in your pockets. Nothing. Or you can spend your life building up treasure in heaven, serving God, pleasing God, so that when you stand before him, you're not ashamed. You haven't wasted your life. I'm sorry, God. I wasted my life. Don't let that be you. Don't waste your life playing it safe on these excuses, businesses and houses and family. Don't waste your life. I've finally got the house sorted. I've got the house perfect for the kids. Oh, they've left. Will you come back and visit sometime? Because the house is perfect now. You're wasting your life. Spend your life on the will of God. That's all that matters. Jez Fletcher, who was preaching here the other week. Jez pastors a fairly small house church in his home. He's a lovely guy. He loves those people and they love him. Everyone who knows Jez and Jill loves them. He's a phenomenal, really nice guy. But please don't join his church. Stay here. Jez was pursuing a career. They took him to Australia and got him a big house with a swimming pool and all the bells and whistles. And they joined a nice big church in Australia and sat at the back enjoying the worship. One night he had a dream. A dream that changed his life. He woke up in the middle of the night sobbing, sobbing. Jill said, "What's wrong, Jez? What's wrong?" And when he finally calmed down, he'd had a dream from Jesus, and this was the dream. He was walking down a corridor, and there was pictures on each side of the wall. On the wall, he noticed pictures of parts of his life, different parts of his life, and there was lots of empty spaces, lots, and empty frames. And then he turned around a corner, and there was a throne, and Jesus was there. It was wonderful, and he buried his face in his garments and was weeping and loving him, and he was receiving Jesus' love. He was so happy to be with Jesus, so happy, except one nagging question in the dream. Jess said, "Jesus, thank you for me being with you. I've wanted to be with you all my life like this. But can I just ask you a question? What were all the gaps in the wall? What were all the spaces without pictures and the empty frames?" And Jesus said, "Jez, those were the things I planned for you to do that you never did." And then he woke up and it changed his life, and he handed his notice in and he came back here to do what he was called to do, which is be a pastor of God's church. You say, "Oh, it's only a little church." What's that going to do with anything? What's that going to do with anything? God isn't calling you to do something flash. He's calling you to do his will. His will is what matters. You do his will with your life. So that when you've finished your life, you say, "Father, here's my life." Or you're wasting your life on excuses. Don't do it. Okay. Ministry time. I'm just going to play something on the piano to make it easy for you to come forward. Ding, 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 ding. Should we stand? And here's an opportunity for you to make a decision. Stuart didn't know what I was going to speak about today, but he did speak about the Father in heaven lovingly getting you out of a rut and turning you over. Do you remember that at the beginning? That's the Holy Spirit speaking. Holy Spirit is here to do business with many of you. We want to pray for you to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit this morning so that you can go to the nations and your neighbours in power. And we want to pray for you as you make a decision to make the kingdom of God absolute priority one in your life and not let anything else come in so that your life's wasted. Other things grow up and choke the word and you prove unfruitful. We don't want that to happen. So let's let the Holy Spirit do some mighty weeding right now. If God is speaking to you, get out of your seat. Come and stand in these spaces. Can some of the guys just move the community right back there? Let's have some ministry this morning. Move the table and let's have people down here. Come on, God is speaking to you. Ian's got some stuff to share as well.